Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another Serving Up podcast. This is episode 9, and it's brought to you by the Chain Restaurant Total Rewards Association, or CERTRA, as we call ourselves. Our podcast is focused on employee total rewards, compensation, benefits, and restaurant industry relevant topics. We are a nonprofit HR organization dedicated to strengthening and enhancing total rewards within the restaurant industry. To find out more about CERTRA or to become a member, please check us out at CERTRAweb.org. My name is Stephanie Ferrand, and I'm the current CERTRA president. Joining me today is Clinton Wolf, Senior Vice President of the Health and Insurance Science Services of the National Restaurant Association. Clinton, we're so happy to have you here today. Tell everybody a little bit about your background.
Yeah, absolutely, Stephanie. Thank you for having me here today. It's great to be talking with you today and the other CERTRA members. For those of you who I haven't met before, I've been with the association now almost 4 years with the health insurance program. Prior to that, I was at United Health Group for 17 years. And prior to that, I was with Deloitte doing consulting. When I was at United Health Group, I kind of joke I was their poster child for career ADD. Just because I moved around so much. I started in finance. I rolled out a Six Sigma program for operations. I moved over to doing the network piece where you negotiate the rates with hospitals and physicians. Then I did product development. And then I went into business development. So I've kind of been doing a lot of different things there. So it was a great preparation for what I do at the association now. And it's been a fun ride.
Well, to kind of get started again, we're really happy to have you here today. And with so much that is happening in the restaurant industry in this last year, I certainly relied heavily on the updates from the NRA. I know that as an organization, you've done so much for our industry, and I wanted to take a minute to chat with you about all those changes that I know the NRA has made and how you contributed to the industry with those many different resources. So to get started, can you update us on the state of the state? Where are we today as an industry?
Yeah, certainly. And I don't have to tell anybody here that the last year has been, exceptionally challenging. The restaurant industry was, arguably the hardest hit in terms of the government was forcing us to shut down and kept us shut down longer than pretty much anybody else. And so that started to improve. And with the vaccination rates and everything, I think everybody's very excited about things. But one of the things is that people, need to remember we're still in rebuilding mode within this industry. That while there are things have gotten better, there are still 21 states that still have capacity limits in place around that. And so it's certainly not out of the woods. On the better side, consumer spending was up in April. That was largely due to the stimulus checks that were issued, but we know from the past experience of that kind of a gain that we saw isn't necessarily likely to last with that. And that's because, we're still $1.3 billion below the pre-pandemic levels. And so 18 months in, it's $290 billion that we've done, or that we're below pre-pandemic levels with the industry. And so that's a big hole to climb out of. That's still reflected on the job side as well. We're down 1.7 million people from where the hiring levels were before that. That's like 14% of the industry on that. And, that's widespread. It's, hiring employment levels are down in 49 states in DC. So it's pretty much nowhere is fully recovered on that. And, even some of the states, actually four of the states, saw declines going from March into April, which I think is kind of surprising. So it's certainly, for the people in search that aren't familiar with, but, on the economic side, it's a challenge out there hiring people. And, we're going to see the numbers improve over the summer in the sense that more people are going to be hired. But one of the things people need to remember is that we're going into a seasonally strong period there. So a lot of those jobs that are going to be coming in are seasonal in nature. And so, you know, we're still not kind of getting back to that base level of employment, even though we see a lot of those, you know, we may see improvement in the overall jobs number here over the next few months with that. And, you know, the other piece of it that is tough, and this has fallen more on the independents than the larger restaurant group. So is around the closures with that. And that's really where we've seen that happen for the most. 90,000 restaurants have closed. That is definitely skewed more towards independent restaurants around that. And, you know, the thing that's different about that, while the number's high, is that, you know, most years you would have seen maybe 50,000 restaurants closed, something in that area. But most of those would have been open only, you know, 1, 2, 3 years. You know, they were restaurants that started up and just didn't work out. The average of those 90,000, they were in business 16 years for those that closed. Yeah, crazy. And actually 16% of them had been open more than 30 years. So you're really seeing a lot of those, you know, those smaller restaurants that were part of the, you know, really the fabric of their neighborhoods and communities are the ones that have gone away, which is unfortunate.
Absolutely. So challenging overall to see so many folks who are impacted by this. I know, you know, I spoke to franchisees who'd been in business for 20 years, who said, this is my business for life. And these are my family. You know, it's not just my employees anymore. They're my family. I've worked with them for so long. So I know you guys have done a lot of other things kind of as well on by fighting for our industry and trying to help get support for all of those groups for sure. But tell me about what you've accomplished during COVID, you know, kind of on that political side and what's ahead.
Yeah, we've been incredibly active during, you know, during this time period and really been able to influence a lot of the major legislation that has come through. You know, we are certainly instrumental with, you know, in the CARES Act and the PPP Act, as well as getting the Restaurant Revitalization Fund in place. And we really were able to get some industry specific features into those programs that were really helped to broaden it to be available to more of the entire industry and to benefit a lot of different segments. I mean, some of them are kind of like, you know, people may not fully realize, like working on getting, you know, the full deduction for the business lunch or business dinners put back in was one of them. And that one's going to be lasting a longer time. I mean, certainly, well, that's got a longer life than some of the grants and the other things that we're able to put in place. But, you know, some of it also was when you look at the revitalization fund, it was, you know, working on expanding the definition around that so that it was, if you were a franchise, you were able to take part in that. The original language around that and that was being pushed by some other people was that if you were a franchisee, if you had one franchise, you weren't eligible for it. You know, if you just had one unit versus if you had 20 units, but they were kind of different names and independents, you were still eligible for it, which didn't really make sense. And so we were able to get that language modified so that if you were a franchisee and still met the size criteria, you would be able to participate in that. So yeah, that was been a lot of work. And, you know, I think that's also been reflected in the influence of the association has been reflected in some of the awards that we've seen for our lobbyists. So Sean Kennedy, our EVP around advocacy, was named by Politico to be one of the top lobbyists in the, you know, in the country. And our people who work at the House and Senate were also, you know, recognized for the work that they've been doing there. So it's, you know, they put in an incredible amount of effort, you know, this last year or so around all of this work. And I think it's really paid off, you know, for the industry.
Absolutely. There have been so many dramatic things that have happened in this time. And Sirtra, really, we evolved as well. We did make some changes overall, added, you know, kind of a monthly roundtable to our group to try and, you know, really support our folks. But I know internally, you guys have made some new developments and changes that COVID had impacted your the way you did things a little bit differently, too. You want to tell us more about that?
Well, yeah, we've had some different changes. We had a new chief executive officer come in recently, Tom Benet, who we're very excited about, who is, you know, a real industry leader. So he has come in and, you know, certainly coming in the middle of COVID is a, you know, is a challenge, you know, for anybody, you know, so it's starting a new job. So, you know, he's definitely jumped in with both feet, which is really great. And we're excited to have him in. Here as well. You know, Sean is relatively new too. Was there something else that you were thinking of specifically?
So I know you put a bookstore in place, or what you're calling a bookstore. You've moved to some virtual mm-hmm. events too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. We've certainly, like everybody on the event side, we've been adjusting with that. And so we've actually got a couple of things that are pretty interesting that are coming out. So we have moved to virtual events for most of our stuff that we have going on last year, like everybody did. And we have our HR and risk group that I know some of the members are also joining that. And so they've been doing virtual events over the year. They're going to be going back to in-person next year with that. And that's with all of our various study groups that they did. So we have people in tax and finance and sustainability and things like that. And so they've been virtual. The thing that's really pretty neat that's going to be coming out later this year is the it's a communities platform that we've put together so that we'll be able to kind of continue the conversations that happen during the year. And a lot of it, if you look at like the webinars that we've had, I mean, we had some webinars that had, you know, thousands of people on them, you know, especially because of, you know, the CARES Act and things like that.
Absolutely.
And there were a lot of questions that came up on that. But, you know, the speaker might be able to answer, you know, a handful of them. But after that, it's kind of like, you're done, you know. But what's nice is with this new platform, you're going to be able to continue that conversation. So you'll be able to, you know, go in there and, you know, keep those threads going around everything that comes up related to webinars or other discussions. So that's really exciting because we think that's going to drive a lot stronger engagement with people, you know, to be able to participate, you know, at, you know, at different levels of intensity, I guess you would say, with that. So that's going to be really exciting. We're excited for the National Restaurant Association show to be back next year. We had to put that off for 2 years because of COVID, but the plan is for that to be back in Chicago next May. In fact, actually, it would be this weekend, or right. Sorry, last weekend. We would have just finished it, you know, if we'd been able to do it in person. But the plan is for that to be back next year, and we think that'll be, you know, bigger and better than ever. The one of the things that the people from the show have talked about is how the you know, the, all the people who, the vendors who had put the booths up and stuff are talking about how people want to get back together, you know, that there really is, you know, a desire of people to be able to get back in person, that, you know, being virtual is not the same. And, you know, major events like that really do have a future. Even though we've all been doing virtual for so long, that's not going to be going away with that. So that's really exciting. And on the bookstore front, what is really fun is that we're doing a lot more research work. So we've always done research, but I think what's interesting is that we are kind of putting up the stuff that we have that's available, making it more accessible, and partnering with other groups to bring in their research as well on it, so that there's a lot more industry relevant information that's going to be available for people. The you know, we've had our trend mapper available for a long time, and that's going to be more accessible. I think, you know, you can find it now, but it's not that easy. So we're making that more accessible, and that's a really great, you know, offering that has been around really since 2002, I think. And, you know, that's where we have the Restaurant Performance Index, which is really one of the, you know, most often quoted data points that people use when they're looking at how the industry is doing, because we have such a long running time series on that. And it shows both current expectations, but also future expectations broken down, you know, between, you know, revenue, food inflation, menu inflation, hiring, things like that. And so it's a pretty comprehensive outlook that we have available. And it's, you know, so that is available in Trend Mapper, and you can actually get the whole data set, which is pretty interesting. So for those of you who, and probably maybe some people in this audience who like models and like the data to be able to show that kind of stuff, that's, you know, accessible now with Trend Mapper. And then we're partnering with Technomic on more of a kind of a industry trends. So depending upon which part of the industry in, there's kind of, there's overviews and versus being a menu focused offering and a consumer focused offering around that. But so they put together a kind of unique offering that is going to be available only through our bookstore as well. So there's some fun stuff coming on there, and there'll be more stuff coming out soon.
That's a lot of exciting, great resources. I'm excited to be able to share so many of these things with the Searcher members. I don't know that everybody, you know, even with a Searcher membership, you don't always realize all the great resources that are there that you get to take advantage of. And you guys have a lot of member programs as well. Tell us a little bit more about those too.
Yeah, that's something that we've had some in place, but we've been putting a lot more into that. And that's something that, our longest running program around that is, you know, for the members is around the benefits with United Health Group. So that actually has been around since 2010 is when that got started. And that's, you know, certainly kind of our flagship. We've got about 3,500 restaurant groups that participate in that. And, you know, and it covers 145,000 members roughly.
Wow.
With that. So I mean, that's great. You know, they've got discounts for our members with that. And, you know, they've actually, what's really neat too, is they've recently enhanced that program. So there are, so there's a little bit better discount in it, but there's also premium deferrals, which I appreciate that because I feel like that's something that speaks to some of the challenges in the industry. Sure. With that, you know, a lot of places that are trying to deal with the cash flow around that, they've built in some wellness programs into it. And the they have a symptom checker also, actually, that they make available for people as well. So they've some really nice enhancements that have gone into that program. And that's just very recent as well. But, you know, the part we've been expanding out on is making it available for other people. Other vendors outside of just healthcare. So we've got a lot of things. It does tend to be, I would say, our marketplace tends to be a little bit more geared towards things that are for smaller operators, but we certainly have things that are useful for larger operators, and especially in kind of this climate where you've got such a challenge around, with hiring and recruitment.
Right.
Most of those are geared towards, or offerings that larger restaurants could take advantage of. There's a recruiting company called Capango, which is really interesting. They've got a mobile first kind of, recruiting strategy, and they're focused on hourly workers, which I think is also unique in that. So they're pretty interesting. Alice is another company with around the pre-tax benefit space. And what's nice about that is, it's a way for the company to save on their FICA taxes. So, I mean, I think one of the challenges with all the hiring right now is, you know, we are seeing wage inflation out there. And the question is, you know, is it transitory or not?
Right.
And, you know, things like Trusaic that can help kind of reduce that cost, you know, are helpful. I mean, obviously it's not going to, you know, get you a free person. But, you know, kind of reducing all those things along the way is helpful. Trusaic is another company. So they're in the work opportunity tax credit space. And I'm sure all your members are probably taking advantage of that. Yeah, the thing I like about them is they've got a really high success rate. They see it a lot. You know, it's about 20% higher than what most companies see in identifying those people and being able to actually get the tax credit with that. So that's one thing, you know, kind of looking back at the industry challenges, you know, you're going to want to make sure that you're taking advantage of is, you know, with the not just the tax credit itself. I mean, that's certainly helpful, but, you know, looking at those populations that are eligible for the tax credit, you know, I mean, you really got to start thinking about, you know, what are kind of new demographics and other areas where you haven't recruited from in the past and look to, you know, try and bring in people from that. And, you know, a lot of those may be qualifying for those tax credits.
Yeah, I actually had a call this week with AARP, not knowing that they have a job resource as well. So, you know, we're really thinking about everyone who's in the industry now and, you know, even how we can pull on some resources that we may not have targeted in the past.
Yeah, that's really fascinating you're saying about AARP. One of the other data points that came out recently was that when you look at the employment that is in the industry right now, teen employment is at the highest level ever.
Wow.
For the industry, you know, and it makes sense that they're not necessarily limited by the unemployment restrictions with that. And, you know, some of them, to the extent their school's remote, they've got more flexibility to go to work, you know, things like that. And so that's, you know, teenagers are going to work. The people, the demographic 50 plus is not coming back yet, you know? So, you know, there's a lot that feeds into that, but that's really interesting. You're right that, I mean, you know, if AARP can kind of help to highlight those, that segment, that's a great, great way to bring back that demographic.
I'm hopeful that we'll, you know, I think we're all thinking about every different tool we can utilize. So you mentioned something too about maybe a part-time pass-through offerings on the benefit side too.
Yeah. So that is something that is going to be coming out here recently or, you know, this summer will be out. And that's one thing we're putting together to help with, you know, with non-eligible employees to, for them to be able to access insurance. And so that is a partnership with Health Markets where they can go online or, well, digitally, they start digitally, but they end up talking to a person on the phone about finding, you know, which types of insurance are right for them. You know, right now, that's probably going to be an ACA plan, given the types of subsidies are, that are out there and with the open enrollment period.
Right.
But, you know, they, part of it is going through that assessment, looking at what is the right program or, you know, the right type of coverage for them. Because for some people, it might be a short-term plan. But the thing that is good about that is, I mean, the subsidies are going to be, you know, going away. It looks like, you know, after this year or kind of reverting back to how they were, I should say.
Right.
And so that assessment piece of it is going to become more important next year with that. And, you know, being able for people being able to get coverage in the most cost effective way is really good. And the thing that's nice with this one is you don't have people coming on site trying to, you know, kind of sell it to the employees. It really is. It's a purely digital, digital and telephonic approach for them to do that. But that's one thing I'm excited about because that's one of the challenges with the, you know, with people coming back into the industry. They've gone to work at a warehouse or, you know, somewhere else, and maybe they got benefits there, and or maybe they got a set schedule, and you know, it may have been a lot less fun than what they were doing before.
Yeah.
But you know, they you know, some of those things, some of those I guess you'd call them barriers, need to be addressed one way or the other. And if they can get insurance through, you know, through an ACA plan, and so that makes them comfortable coming back to the restaurant, that's great.
Yeah, we're certainly all thinking about all different levels of things that we need to add and offer on the benefit side. And what about on the mental health side? You know, we've definitely had a lot of concerns for our industry and what they've been through over the last year, even, you know, substance abuse challenges as well. Anything that you're offering in that regard?
And certainly mental health certainly has, you know, become more of an issue for the industry. I mean, it certainly got highlighted with Anthony Bourdain stuff.
Right.
And then, you know, under COVID, a lot more of this kept coming up, you know, even more so. So it's definitely an issue. We're doing it. We've got a couple things going on in that space. One thing is that our education foundation is partnered with part of United Health Group they're doing a survey right now around the mental health and needs in the industry and kind of getting to what is going to be more specific on that. And so we'll be publishing that later this year with what's going on around that. But I would say that kind of more right now, one of the things that we think is a really great offering there is we've got a partnership with Teladoc and their Healthiest You product. And that what's neat about that one is it's got the mental health built into it. So, you know, certainly under, you know, COVID, telemedicine took off and, you know, really everybody's aware of it, I would say right now. But most people, I think, think about it in the context of urgent care with that. And a lot of places, and what a lot of companies saw was that the insurance companies came out to them and they said, hey, we'll just put this into your benefit. And, you know, if you're self-funded, they may have said, oh, we're not going to charge you for it. But there's like a $45, $50 copay for the member to use it. Yeah. Well, you know, that's doesn't really help utilization, you know, when you've got that kind of copay. So what's nice about the Healthiest You product is that it does do that urgent care stuff, but it has mental health in it as well. So somebody can, you know, and there's no copays too, which is a really great thing about that. So there are no visit limits or anything like that associated with it. So certainly somebody can, you know, call up for a, you know, for a sore throat. But on the mental health side, they actually can, you know, they get a list of people that are kind of, you know, it's kind of like just going through finding a mental health provider like you normally would. It's just that you're going to meet with them on the phone or on your computer. And that's really the only difference. So you find that particular provider that you have a good relationship with and you schedule regular, you know, talks with them. And so that could be weekly, you know, when you, you know, or, you know, or less often if that's appropriate. But what's neat about that is, I mean, there's no, it's very accessible, you know, for people, and which is really nice. The part that's really great about it is it's only $7 a month for that. And, you know, so that it's affordable, you know, for the employer around that. But it's also affordable and accessible for the employee, you know, because of that $0 copay associated with it.
Yeah, that sounds like a great resource.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that's neat about it too, is that, I mean, we've kind of seen this over the last year. We've seen a couple of, I guess, slightly different uses come up with it maybe we just didn't appreciate it in the beginning. But what we've seen is that, you know, for people who are self-funded, they're using this as a way to divert claims because, you know, so for a lot of people, you know, those urgent care and those mental health claims may come in and you're paying for them on a self-funded basis. Right. Well, if they're going through Healthiest You, you know, you're just paying that $7. And so you don't have to pay for many 100 plus mental health visits to cover that $7. So we're seeing, you know, self-funded customers look at that as a way to kind of reduce their claim costs. But then we've also seen some interest in it, you know, more discussions about whether or not it would work with as a EAP type replacement because it's so much less expensive. And, you know, it's not a perfect fit. It really would depend upon your goals with that because it doesn't have some of the pieces that you would see in a typical EAP. But the one advantage it does have is that you know, most people are accessing that for a mental health type of, benefit. And rather than them just seeing, you know, having like three visits and then kind of being told to go somewhere else, they can be with that provider for as long as necessary. So that's another thing that's pretty interesting about it as well.
Yeah, I heard that young males have really embraced the opportunity to do things virtually in a way that they weren't before when it came to getting mental health support. So you're always happy to hear there's a new group that's going to utilize those features who wasn't getting the help they needed before. Mm-hmm. So kind of going back, you mentioned earlier, your HR and risk group. I know it has been a great resource for me and several of my peers, to really be able to reach out and, ask questions, get advice from the rest of the restaurant industry. It's always a great, resource that I look to. Tell us a little bit more about how members can join that. And I think you said you had a conference as well.
And that's been a really interesting program that's been in place for quite a while. That was built around primarily a physical conference pre-COVID with that would happen in February. And, similar to Sertra, get together and talk about the various issues. With that, with COVID, it has moved over to doing more of, Zoom meetings on a pretty regular basis with that. And I know we've certainly shared a lot of that information with people at Sertra as well. Right. And your members are welcome to join that as well with that. And we're looking forward to kind of getting that going back again in next year on a physical or the physical meeting with that as well. And then we'll also be rolling that out on that communities platform I mentioned as well, which I think will be really neat because, if you have, a talk and it's, probably about recruiting these days, and the call ends. Yeah, but when the call ends, you don't have to end that conversation. Is that right. The people are very, with that type of platform, they're able to still keep, talking about it through that. And I think that's what's going to be really great about it is that the, the networking aspects of the groups are not going to be limited to, to whenever you happen to be getting together. They're going to be able to really do that on a regular basis virtually.
Yeah, I think as you mentioned before, I think we all look forward to having those in-person moments again. I know I miss the Sertra conference so much. That's one of our kind of favorite events every year, and just getting to network and see everyone. So I've loved that we're continuing to add other resources, and you guys are as well. Anything else that we didn't cover that we should share?
I just think everybody knows this is just that, it's kind of the light at the end of the tunnel. We think we all see it here. But it's going to be a challenging summer, and just trying to kind of get through that rebuilding and kind of thinking outside the box, which we probably feel like we've all been doing for the last, 18 months anyway, but we're going to have to start doing more of it in a different context. and that's, what we have to look forward to.
Yeah.
It's going to be exciting.
Well, Clinton, thank you so much for your time today and for sharing all the details on the many great offerings that the NRA has. The NRA has really been an important partner, and we certainly hope to grow our partnership with you. So to all of our listeners, thanks for tuning in. Be sure to like and share the podcast and follow us for new monthly episodes. On behalf of Sertra, I'm Stephanie Ferrand. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you'll listen again next time.